Well, hello, Mickey 17 here. I'm 17 years old. Yeah, tall, blonde hair, blue eyes. People tell me I look like one of the Backstreet Boys. Which one? Huey, or maybe Dewey. I'd like to meet you, too. What are you doing in 8 to 10 years?
It was dark in my room like an ancient tomb, except the monitor burning bright. I was trying to meet girls on the internet, but I hadn't had a doggone bite. I was looking for love at 56K, typing smut from town to town. I said I'm a 22-year-old college co-ed, and I'm about to pull my panties down.
Well, what a coincidence. I am a lesbian, too.
By the time the sun was coming up, I'd met girls from all 50 states, typing 40 words a minute with just one hand so the other could collate. Yet them keys was humming like a White House intern, toying with a chick in Bel Air. But the truth made me sick, she sent me a pic, and it had a lot of mustache hair.
Cause we're in a great big chat room, typing through the night.
Oh.
Got me a chat room pen pal, oh, she's a beautiful sight.
Uh-oh.
Come on and join our chat room, who are you gonna meet today? Try your luck in the chat room, across the cyberspace, chat room.
I received your JPEG. Please resend. The photo appears to have smudged. It looks like you have a mustache. Ha ha ha, LOL. Perhaps we could meet in a more private room. Back door. Chip, is that you? You get your ass to bed before I come up there and disconnect your modem.
Everybody, listen to me and return me my ship. I'm your captain, I'm your captain. Though I'm feeling mighty sick.
95.7.
Greatest hits of all time. Good morning, everybody. I'm Bob Rivers, along with Spike O'Neill here. Hey, Spike, you accounted for?
I'm here.
And downtown
here.
Joe?
Yes, sir.
Jody is in the newsroom, which isn't really so much as a newsroom as it is actually a chair.
Yeah, I'm in the news chair.
And how was everybody's weekend?
Good? Wonderful.
Good?
Glorious and heartbreaking.
Glorious and heartbreaking?
Yeah. 3 days. I love those.
You like 3 days?
Yeah.
So for you, it's about quantity.
Well, you know, yeah. I'll take quantity. I like quality. But
like one more slice is good for me.
I'm pretty good quality, too.
Eric Corman in the producer booth. Let's see if you're up there.
Kalimata.
Kalimata?
Yeah, Kalimata. That means good morning in Greek.
Nice.
A country that can't even pay its own electric bill. Good morning to them, too.
Yeah, they're always glad the sun comes up. They can see what the hell's going on.
Yeah. How was your weekend?
It was great. I went to Folklife, which is a fascinating exercise in viewing humanity, I will say.
Folklife is Fremont?
No, that's Seattle Center.
Oh, wait a minute. What's the Fremont one with the naked bicycle guy?
Solstice, yeah.
Solstice. When is that coming up?
Yeah, that's coming up in a couple weeks.
Okay.
Yeah, but
Folklife is... I haven't done Folklife.
No.
No, I haven't.
The best people watching ever.
Ever.
I'll translate for Eric.
Thank you.
Freaklife.
Freaky people.
Oh, it's a wonderful thing.
It's everyone, all the old hippies, all the people who are there, all the hipsters who are there because it's ironic, man.
I think I'd prefer hipster. What is a hipster?
Oh, hipsters.
If I have to ask.
Yeah. Hipsters are, you know, they have the cool dark rim glasses and everything's ironic. It's like, yeah, we'll eat corn and a stick, but only because it's ironic.
I don't think I could do that.
Posers.
So opposing hippies.
Yeah.
All right. So what did you do? And why do you go to such a thing?
It's like traveling. It's like going all over the world, but it's right in your own backyard. I mean, there's literally dances and music from everywhere, and some of the people look like they've come from just about everywhere, too. And Monique and I like to sort of recreate the way we met, which was contra dancing, also known as musical speed dating.
Contra dancing. Is that like a hipster version of square dancing?
Yeah, it kind of
right.
is.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, you, instead of being in squares, you're in these long lines, and you literally meet everybody in your long line by the time you're done.
Right, briefly.
Very.
Just
that's
brief enough.
That's how you met your wife?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah, 21
awesome?
Years ago.
Yeah.
How would that work exactly?
Well, she was coming down the line toward me, and we danced together for about a minute. We had some time to interact.
So here's this cute girl, strange girl. You dance with her for 1 minute.
Mm-hmm.
Going through your mind, going through her mind, was what?
That she seemed really nice and she was cute, and we sort of had a vibe going.
That's very nice.
And yeah. So then what they do after a while, these long line dances, is that they'll have a waltz. So literally I'm looking across the room of 300 people for her while I'm turning away other women who want to dance.
Who was your runner-up? I have to ask.
Yeah.
I didn't have a runner-up.
Oh, please, please, please. Please.
You
I know she might
B.
be listening, but...
You know, I honestly don't remember. I mean,
of all the women there, that's the only one you would have taken. If someone of the other women had said to you...
Well, he said he had to shun the affections of other women trying to find Monique.
I did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, some were much
How
older
many men
than
went after you, too? Quite a few, right?
Let's see... Maybe one or two.
Good times.
So metrosexual. You could wear those glasses. It would work for you.
The hipster glasses.
Yes. It would make you more software, a little less gay, actually. It would be pretty interesting.
Hmm. Dude, speaking of hipsters, did these people know they're hipsters?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because I've
yeah.
noticed lately, I mean, I never even was attuned to this word till a month or so ago, and now it's everywhere.
The word hipster.
And how I know it's hit the, like, the collective is... I see it in bathrooms everywhere I go.
Bathrooms.
Anti-hipster graffiti in tavern bathrooms.
Anti-hipster graffiti would say what?
Like, hipsters go to hell, and, you know.
Seriously?
Oh, yeah. There are people that are upset about hipsters, and I'm not even quite sure who they are, and if they
you
know.
You don't even know what a hipster is.
Well, I'm not positive.
Or why someone is upset with that.
Right, that yeah. it's an organized group. But
they're very disorganized. To view hipsters in their native land, you just go to Capitol Hill.
Okay, well, these
Uh-oh.
Are.
Is our boss a hipster?
No.
No?
No.
Close. Got the glass in.
Yeah, no, he's not a hipster.
All right.
You have to be a little younger.
Are you saying that because you like this job?
Actually, no, he's not a hipster, and he wouldn't tell you that he's a hipster.
He wouldn't tell. So hipsters are proud of their hipsterness.
Our boss is fashionable. I think you're getting that.
Hipster and fashionable confused. Of course I'm getting it. I'm doing that.
Yeah.
So define hipster a little bit. If someone else would help me define hipster, 52309 is the text, 52309, because they'll be shy. They won't want to call. But if you did want to call, 877-901-0957. In fact, if you're a hipster listening to this program and something tells me,
It'll
take a while. It'll be a while. Or you consider yourself a hipster because you're saying hipsters know that they are hipsters and they like that.
Hipsters dress the way they do because it folds them in with other hipsters. Our boss, John, dresses the way he does because he knows it looks good on him and he's got Jody said, he's got a sense of fashion about
it. But I'm getting a sense there may be hipster denial.
No, when trucker hats came back, it was hipsters. Now that mustaches
Bingo.
Are back. Hipsters.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
when
good.
Mutton
whatever
chops
is hip.
Right.
Well, then they won't call in it.
When you watch Hollywood Tonight and that's how you dress, you're a hipster.
Well, the idea is that they pretend they don't care about fashion, but
right.
they do care.
When fanny packs come back, it'll be the hipsters.
I see. Eric, are you...
I'm set, by the way, when fanny packs come back. I am set.
You have some?
Oh,
you're ready to go?
Sitting on a gold mine.
You're psyched to use them, too, because they're very convenient.
Yeah, so okay.
But that's if fanny packs come back. Are you more about folk life? So you were there, you saw lots of hipsters.
Yes, and lots of hippies.
And old hippies.
And
are there
hippies.
New hippies?
Oh, yeah.
Are they growing new ones?
They are. Yeah, they look like they come up from the Oregon County Fair or Eugene. I'm not exactly sure where they come from.
They look just like girls did like 30 years ago, don't they?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not wearing much in the way of undergarments. Very flowy dresses.
It's true.
Yeah. Haven't washed maybe in a few days.
Doesn't matter.
The smell of herbs.
Dirt is organic.
Lots of herbal smells around.
Patchouli. They like patchouli.
Yeah, they don't wash, but they cover it up with herbals.
Not wearing much in the way of undergarments. Is that to say no bras? Because I know you're not doing panty checking.
Well,
he doesn't have to check. He knows.
No bras.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So unfortunate.
What do you mean? Is that unfortunate? Was a woman meant to wear a bra no matter what?
Well, I think that if you're a young, nubile little hippie, you're not thinking about what your boobs are going to look like in the future. And if you've got...
So you're being irresponsible with your boobs.
Right. Yeah. You're going to be sad when you're 40.
You're swinging them around now, and it may feel okay.
You're not going to be thinking, oh, folk life was great. You're going to be thinking, what the hell was I thinking?
Seriously.
Yeah.
The bra is important.
Future planning.
You're taking 30 years of firm and spending it in 15 years.
Yeah. Get those girls up.
Does a man have a similar garment that protects his looks in the future? I don't know. I don't think so.
No.
No. And what was supposed to happen? Well, they're supposed to sag then, because that's the way nature intended.
I guess.
I know. Who cares? I'm back to you, Joe.
Back to me and my... What?
You seemed very interested in the hippiness.
Oh, well, I am interested still in about this whole hipster thing, because two different places I was at this weekend, I saw graffiti. And once somebody hates you enough to write graffiti on a wall... I assume that, you know, they must be somebody. But yet, I'm not seeing anything on the text message that would explain. In fact, a couple people are asking the same thing.
Please explain what a hipster is. Someone says, yeah. Someone who says, yeah, man.
No.
Is a hipster. No?
No. Hipsters read the Huffington Post and go to all the newest restaurants with all the organic stuff, but just to try it and then not like it. They don't like anything. They're on top of whatever is going on, but only for a minute.
They are definitely using Groupon.
Totally.
And listening to Pandora.
Yeah.
And they are tweeting a lot.
Yes.
Okay.
Or actually, they might stop soon. Like, it's been going on so long that the hipsters may just drop it.
They may drop Twitter.
They might drop it, yeah.
Somebody doesn't enjoy a live show because they're so busy tweeting about a live show.
Yeah. Hipster. If there's an underground... vegan dinner that floats through the city, they'll be there. Like, they know what's going on.
Underground vegan dinner.
I'm saying, like, you know, these gypsy things, or like if Soundgarden does a secret show at some coffee shop in Everett, they'll know.
And actually, Bob, they don't listen to Pandora. Hipster thing is to listen to CDs or maybe some tapes now. Actually,
tapes.
There's a revival of tapes.
They're coming
totally.
Back. Oh, yeah, they would buy the vinyl. They would buy the
exactly. That's hipster.
Okay. So you're following trends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they probably have a higher average income than most younger people.
Not necessarily, but they have iPads somehow.
I mean, there's got to be a reason to resent these people. I mean, from what I've heard so far.
Hate them?
They hate them because they think that everything's lame. They have no enthusiasm about anything.
They get exhausted of posing so much. They just pose. They pretend to be something. And that's exhausting. At the end of the day, they go to sleep so tight because they can't handle how much they pose for that.
It's true.
So they're just not real people.
Like yeah.
Right.
So everyone's lame.
And is this a new kind of person that didn't exist when we were growing up?
We called them posers. Same animal.
Posers.
I think so.
Hipster
wannabes.
Posers. Wannabes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually, it first appeared in the 1940s. That's when the term hipster first was being used.
Got it. So there's always been this person looking for an identity.
If you want to go see hipsters, go to Capitol Hill Block Party. That will be... The big organization of hipsters.
Do you know, have any idea how far from North Bend a Capitol Hill Block Party is?
About 130 years. Yeah.
Hicksters and hipsters hardly ever come
across. Hicksters, though. You've coined a phrase. I think people could embrace that.
Yeah, they keep bees and chickens.
Yeah.
All right, it's 6:15. Good morning. Folk life was this weekend. Some decent sports this weekend. The Mariners picked up 2 out of 3 from the Yankees, but the Texas Rangers are sort of on fire, too, so the Mariners are not in the promised land of first place, but doing okay.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Thanks, Joe.
Well, I saw and, well. There was, I mean, what weekend in Memorial Day is like sports weekend for America. You know, summer's here. The Indy 500. You know, baseball's in full swing. The NBA Finals, the NHL Finals. If football players were in camp, it would be complete nirvana for sports fans.
But football players are not in camp.
Right.
And is there any movement on that at all?
The latest on the NFL situation is that a Minneapolis appellate court ruled with the owners in a big, fat way.
And that was a week or two ago.
That was a couple weeks ago.
That was a while ago. So now it's been quiet since.
Because the lockout is firmly in place. Now there's a scheduled, mandatory sit-down negotiation between the players and owners by a federal court mandated, but that's not until the first week of June. So they're not doing, it's later this week. So they're not doing anything until that happens.
We won't know anything until then. No. All right. We do have a listener who wants to comment on hipsters. His name is Josh. Josh is in Montlake Terrace. Hello, Josh.
Hey, I was just going to say that the simplest explanation for what a hipster is it's a trendsetter who pretends not to care that they're setting trends.
Setting or following trends? Big difference.
Both. Setting trends. The hipsters that pretend the most are the ones that try to set the trends. And lately, it seems to be bringing back something like the trucker hats, or like somebody said, maybe fanny packs will come back. You know, it's somebody who likes to pretend that they're not setting a trend, even though they know they are.
Right. So there's this distrust of the genuineness of the hipster fashion statement.
Right.
So you're the guy who writes that stuff on the bathroom wall about hipsters.
No, I don't care about hipsters one way or the other.
All right. I will keep my eyes out for if I spot one, I will let you know. Okay? Thank you.
Yeah.
I think we've all tried to follow trends, tried to follow fashion at some point in our lives, whether you rise to the level of hipsterism or just be a fool. It's hard to say.
I saw somebody starting a trend and being a fool Saturday, speaking of the Mariners. Now, I don't know if this is coming back or not, but we had full-blown streaking at Safeco Field Saturday night.
Nice.
Look at it.
Oh, yeah. And it was, I mean, for all to see out in the middle running around as long as they'd let him. And finally they got him tackled. There were four different people that ran onto the field Saturday night.
Wow.
I think it might have been a coordinated effort. I really don't know. If anybody does, I'd like to find out.
That's your flash mob.
Well, the only one was naked, but this guy was naked except for a hat. He had a hat on, and that was it. And he was athletic. He kept them at bay for a long time.
Look at it.
Yeah. They got him.
When was the last time you saw anyone streak?
I haven't seen it in decades. I mean, I can't remember.
Did you call your wife and get on the phone and say,
hey, you're not going to believe it. Oh, look at them. No, but I should have. And this guy.
It'd be good if you called her Ethel. You wouldn't know why.
Well, it was in the bottom of the eighth inning, and, you know, he gave them a good run, and finally they get him, you know, tackled, and there's three, you know, grown men sitting on top of this guy.
Which game was this?
This was Yankee Saturday night.
I think I was listening to that game. It was a very close game.
Oh, yeah. It went 12 innings. Yeah. We were there forever.
Yeah. Who won?
Mariners.
And Mariners pulled it off in 12 innings.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
I went Friday and Saturday, and the Mariners won both nights, and then I skipped Sunday, and then they got blown out. So I was glad I did. But that once you get this guy tackled, it's what do you do? Because it's, you know, it's naked guy. I mean, you're going to pull him up. But right now, any kid that wasn't watching has got his
So what
attention.
Did they do after they tackled him?
They brought out a bunch of Gatorade towels and tried to wrap him up.
In 1 foot towels?
In Gatorade towels, yeah. And they succeeded to some extent. But then when he's getting hauled off, I don't know why, but they haul them all the way out to center field and take them out through the outfield. They open up these big doors, the same place where the moose, you know, comes out on his cart and everything. So this guy is over kind of towards third base, and they have to haul him all the way through the outfield wrapped in Gatorade towels. Well, he gets about two-thirds of the way, and then he starts kicking like one of those, you know.
He's going to break free.
Nazi stormtroopers. I mean, he's like kicking his legs way up high. Goose-stepping, yeah. And he does. He breaks free from the Gatorade towels.
Does he lose the towels?
Oh, yeah.
So does he run again?
No. He's got three cops on him. He's not running, but he's starting
flying,
naked again.
Flying free.
Yeah, he's flying.
Man, that's aggravating.
Oh, it was, yeah. So I don't know what's going to happen to that guy. I mean, somebody told me, they just let him go. They don't have time to mess with that.
A streaker, I think they would come after.
Especially a streaker that kind of resisted at the end, at least resisted the towel.
That's aggravated nudity. You're right. That escalated the charges.
These guys, all four.
Was he good looking?
Yeah, he was. I mean, he was buff. There's pictures of him on the web and stuff. I mean, he's
of course there are
pretty buff guy. And
did you forget your telephoto that day?
Oh yeah, that's the problem. I'm behind home plate, so I was pretty far from the action every time. It was mostly out in the outfield. So
was he?
He was, I'd say,
was he gifted.
Well, I didn't spend a lot of time evaluating that, but I'd say.
No, his binoculars out. Now let's take a look.
Yeah, if
I didn't spend a lot of time evaluating that.
There's probably somebody closer to me than the action that could say, but it looks like there was certainly enough that you could tell. You know, he was.
So that's why they took him to center field. If there's 47,000 people in the stadium.
Let's make this smaller.
Right. 3,000 people get to see him walking towards center field. If you walk him toward home plate, 44,000 people. And it gets closer and closer and closer.
Okay. I was wondering if it was a year-end stunt for some school or something. Because four people on the field in one game is a little much for just randomness.
Were they kids or were they?
They're all the same. You know, young males in their 20s, I would say, early 20s.
Early 20s, young
Yeah, guys. You don't see old bald guys out there running around.
Yeah, the only thing they're graduating from is food stamps, if they're lucky.
Yeah, I saw one girl last year. That's the first time I'd seen female, you know, a female runner.
Full?
Not streaking.
Not streaking, yeah. No. Just out there running around. That's pretty rare, too.
We both had an interest. Okay, so it's an exciting weekend, but not enough sunshine. Not enough sunshine. I don't know if all of you came away as disappointed as I was. And today they say showers, but looking outside, it looks a little drier than it did the last couple days.
Saturday was nice.
Was Saturday nice?
Yeah.
Well, it didn't,
depends on where
it
you
didn't
were.
Clean up at the mountains.
Yeah.
It totally depended on where you were.
That's a shame.
Yeah. All right. On the show today, Julian Sanchez will speak with us at 6:35. President Obama re-upped the Patriot Act, and so many of you thought the Patriot Act was something terrible. I wonder if you still do after you speak with an expert about what exactly the Patriot Act is. We will see. Captain Paul Watson and his, what'd you call her?
She's a deckhand on the, I think it's the
call her his something deckhand.
Lovely deckhand?
His lovely deckhand. Fiona McQuaig. Has she been with the boat a long time?
I believe this is the second
I think it's her
season.
Second season on the boat, Fiona.
And the show is called Whale Wars. Captain Paul Watson and deckhand Fiona McQuaig. Whale Wars has been nominated for an Emmy. And if you've spent any time watching the controversies about whales here with the Macaw Indian tribe, the crew of the Sea Shepherd is instrumental in running around with their boat and
they
trying
work the,
to stop.
They work the Antarctic, and they take on the Japanese whaling fleet.
Well, they take on the Japanese whalers, but they've also taken on some tribal whalers around here as well. They are labeled activists and heroes by some and eco-pirates by others. And their next whale operation is called Operation No Compromise. I don't know how you would compromise in whaling. Well, you can have part of the whale. I don't know how that would go. So anyway, they'll be on at 8 o'clock. Will they be in the studio or will they be on the phone?
Just on the phone.
No. And also on the show today, comedian Brad Upton will drop by. He's performing at Laughs in Kirkland. Bunch of items in the news today about just some strange thefts. Just stuff taken. Taken and gone. In Seattle, a 25,000-pound shipment of crab. Just gone. Last week, a trucker pulled his rig up to a cold storage warehouse in Los Angeles and picked up a load of Russian king crab headed for Seattle. Mm. The trucker was supposed to deliver his load on Monday. Instead, 25,000 pounds of crab and the trucker, $400,000 worth of crab, vanished into thin air. It looks like the trucker's documents and his trucking company were bogus. Right. So he showed up to pick up the crab. I'm here for your crab. Here's my papers. And they gave him the crab.
And he just disappeared in the night with it.
Disappeared in the night. Very, like an episode of The Sopranos, isn't it?
The Goodfellas scene, yeah, I love this.
Didn't they do that with wine and things like
oh,
that?
Oh, and everything. Get their hands on.
Electronics.
You betcha. Furs,
big,
meat.
Big screen TVs.
Anything.
Is that, and now they say this may be an organized, they don't use the word mob. It's so unhipster.
Yeah, really.
They call it a fraud ring. Yeah. Isn't that essentially mob?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Organized crime.
We had an insurance guy tell us that guys who did this were just plain professionals. They had to be. Jerry Benzel is a dispatcher for New Sound Transportation, the Western Washington company that contracted with the truck driver to deliver the shipment. They had the trucker's driver's license, insurance, and a whole bunch of documents saying, I'm here to pick up your crap.
All a ghost company?
Mm-hmm. He called once in Oregon, said, I'm having a little trouble in my truck. And then nobody's heard from him. That's when they checked the documents and found out it was all fake. So they assume he's not coming around.
So how do you know, Russian king crab, how do you identify it? I mean, it's a commodity, right? You
yeah,
can put that in cat food. You can mix it with
anything. Oh, man.
You can
crab ravioli, crab linguine, crab cannoli. It's going to be great. Crab spaghetti. It's awesome.
All you do is put it in a different box, and you're done.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
you're done.
Yeah, its value is as a big, long crab leg. You don't start grinding it up for cat food. I mean, it's...
Do people eat it as is?
Oh, yeah. That's the stuff.
What's it doing in California? I thought it came into Seattle.
Usually you would think it would. Now, I don't know if...
Across the Pacific to a California port.
The fact it's Russian may... our deadliest catch buddies may have something to say about that. Maybe we only like to have our crab come into our port.
So here's one of my favorite quotes from the article. Who's Andrew Fyatiskov? He's a Russian name. Andrew Fyatiskov. He said... This sounds like Miami Vice or something. Miami Vice, really?
They're just getting that now in Russia.
That's awesome.
We got brand new episode, Miami Vice.
I could just see Crockett in tubs cracking this one.
T-shirt with sport jacket. Cool look. King crab prices this year have reached a record high, so it was a tempting load, they say. If it's repackaged in new boxes, it's impossible to trace. That's the editor of Seafood.com News.
Yeah.
Finally, some attention to Seafood.com News.
Yeah.
Breaking all the big stories that no one gives a crap about.
I think I think Seafood.com News stole the crab. So they have a story.
Generate the news.
Mm-hmm. That's really weird. Nothing the public can do, right? You can't be on the lookout because this is not the kind of load where someone's 25,000.
This tastes Russian. Well, somebody shows you, know, if you, yeah, you, no. You see a guy on the side of the road trying
hey,
to.
They loaded too much crab into my trunk. Yeah. I don't know what to do. It's going to go bad.
Yeah, they'd love to. There's a number or a place you can contact.
But it must be frozen, right?
Yeah, it's in a freezer truck.
It's frozen in a truck.
Right.
But he's right. They'll find a packaging plant they own or they've jacked into, and they'll repackage.
My suspicion is it's on a boat on its way, you know, to Asia or somewhere right now. Uh-huh. I mean, you think crab gets a good price here.
You can ship it somewhere else?
You take it and take your truck down, put it on a boat, and, you know, $500,000 worth of crab on its way to Japan or somewhere.
Now, here's another crime story. A warning. Mexican drug lords are now manufacturing something that they want to sell to your elementary school-age children. You heard correct. Mexican drug lords are now manufacturing something that they want to sell to your elementary school-age children. I'll tell you what it is, and we'll have the guy talking about the Patriot Act right after these.
95.7 Rock. Pop.
Do you believe in magic?
And Motown.
Greatest hits of all time.
95.7.
95.7 presents the You've Just Won $1,000. Uh-uh, no way. For real, are you kidding me? Phenomenon.
I'm a winner?
You're kidding me.
Are you kidding me?
Are you freaking serious?
No way.
Are you kidding me?
Are you serious?
Get the heck out of here. I can't believe it.
Are you serious? Oh, my God, I can't believe it.
Turning non-believers into believers. Weekdays from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on 95.7.
No way.
Now I'm a believer.
Home of the $1,000 Thrill an Hour Cash Contest.
Oh, really?
Really.
Are you sure?
JPMorgan Chase is doing its part across the nation to help our neighbors and communities move forward. Here's just one story.
My name is Kristen Woodward, and I work at Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center in Seattle. The center's mission is to eliminate cancer and related diseases.
I'm Herb Bone, a controller at the Hutchinson Center. We recently acquired a building, with JPMorgan Chase leading the financing.
This new building will house researchers who, among other things, are advancing a new avenue of science called immunotherapy.
We helped pioneer the field.
Immunotherapy harnesses the body's natural immune system to kill cancer without chemotherapy and without radiation. It's really a promising advance.
We're very excited about what this new building will allow us to do. JPMorgan Chase is helping to make our work possible.
This is the way JPMorgan Chase is lending a hand. This is the way forward.
Celebrate your champions June 4th. Tickets at stormbasketball.com. Be part of it.
They're going. In the next few days, 10 amazing cars are going to disappear. If you want one to be yours, now is the time to enter the OnStar Push-On Sweepstakes. So now, not tomorrow, not when you have a spare minute, not after your week slows down. Now is the time to push your blue OnStar button. Tell the advisor you want to enter, and you could be one of 10 people to win the Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, or Cadillac of your choice. You don't have to be an active OnStar customer. There's no obligation. But you have to push your blue button soon. And maybe a Cadillac CTS-V Coupe, a Chevrolet Corvette Convertible, a GMC Yukon Denali, or a Buick Enclave could be yours. Just for pushing one little button. Sweepstakes exclude Chevrolet Volt. No purchase necessary. Visit OnStar.com for rules and alternate entry details. Void where prohibited. Ends May 31st, 2011. Must be 18 years of age or age of majority and U.S. or Canadian legal resident. Limit 3 entries per person regardless of entry method, but only one blue OnStar button push per vehicle.
As boating and fishing season begins, Crown Royal Whiskey asks, does your story call for a crown? Remember when you netted the big one? How about the time you caught two fish on the same hook? These are great stories, and great stories call for a crown. And now your fish story could hook you some new fishing gear from Sportco and Outdoor Emporium, or a seat at a private dinner with Captain Keith Colburn from Crab Vessel, The Wizard. Just go to oldieseattle.com/fishing for complete sweepstakes rules and to enter your great fish story. Crown Royal reminds you to drink responsibly. Crown Royal Blended Canadian Whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume. Copyright 2011, The Crown Royal Company, Norwalk, Connecticut.
The Home Depot has lowered prices on products all over the store, and we're not done yet. Every week, you'll find new ways to stretch your home improvement dollar and get more project for your money. Ways to keep your home in better shape and turn the dollars you've got into more than you expected. Change your home improvement plans. Plan to get more done with guaranteed low prices, now even lower. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot.
Sound like a typical workday? Work odd hours or shifts? Always sleepy on the job? Ask your doctor about excessive sleepiness due to shift work disorder and if New Vigil could help. New Vigil, or modafinil, is a prescription medicine used to improve wakefulness in adults who are very sleepy due to shift work disorder. Ask your doctor if New Vigil is right for you. For a free trial, go to NewVigil.com. New Vigil may cause serious rash or allergic reaction that may require hospitalization and be life-threatening. If you develop rash, hives, mouth sores, blisters, swelling, peeling, yellow skin or eyes, trouble swallowing or breathing, dark urine or fever, stop New Vigil and get emergency help. New Vigil is not for children. New Vigil doesn't replace sleep, may not stop all sleepiness, and has risk of abuse or dependence. Use as directed. Common side effects are headache, nausea, dizziness, and trouble sleeping. Stop New Vigil and call your doctor for depression, anxiety, hallucinations, extreme activity, aggression, thoughts of suicide, other mental problems, chest pain, or abnormal heartbeat. For more information and medication guide, talk to your doctor or pharmacist. Call 800-896-5855 or visit NewVigil.com. For a free 14-day trial, visit NUVIGIL.com.
Transmission going out? General Transmission can fix most for under $2,000. Don't get lured into buying a new transmission. Repair it. Call Ray at 206-878-5759. That's 878-5759. Or find money-saving coupons at generaltransmission.com.
If you are over the age of 30 and are serious about losing 1 to 2 pounds a day, please stay tuned to this important announcement. A local market trial is starting now for an incredible weight loss breakthrough called HCG Extreme, and you may be eligible to receive a free 30-day supply. We are looking for 200 people to receive this risk-free trial. HCG Extreme is not a fad, gimmick, or diet craze. There's no doctor's prescription needed. It simply helps reduce cravings, therefore you eat less. HCG is considered one of the fastest and most effective ways to lose weight and keep it off. And best of all, with the HCG Extreme convenient drops, you don't wait weeks to see results. It happens daily. HCG Extreme is now being released to the public in key markets. The first 200 callers are guaranteed participation in the trial.
To find out how to get your bottle of HCG Extreme risk-free, call now. 1-800-480-9369. That's 800-480-9369. Free bottles for a limited time, so call 800-480-9369. That's 800-480-9369.
Today I save $15 with my Plus Ups at Rite Aid.
I save $24 with my Plus Ups.
As a Rite Aid Wellness Plus member, you could enjoy average savings of over $100 in Plus Up rewards every week. Just buy select products today and get rewards for even more savings tomorrow. It's like savings on top of your savings with Plus Ups.
I saved $63 this month.
That's the value of wellness. Enroll in Wellness Plus, free today, in-store or at RiteAid.com.
Wellness Plus card required. Certain limitations apply. See your local Rite Aid for details.
I'm Danielle in the State Farm Traffic Center. On the I-90 westbound off-ramp to northbound I-5, there's currently a collision blocking the right lane. We're also dealing with an accident southbound I-5 after 85th, where there's a crash on the right side. Northbound through the S-curve's getting a little crowded this morning from Sunset up to Southeast 64th, while southbound 405 is a little bit busier at the 522 interchange. Effort to Seattle is about 29 minutes. Traffic is brought to you by Fred Meyer. So what's for dinner tonight? Fred Meyer has a fast, delicious idea. Hot, fresh rotisserie chicken from your F.G. Meyer Deli. Choose from tangy barbecue, lemon pepper, or savory herb, just $5.99. Stop by Freddy's on your way home and pick one up. Coming up on the Bob Rivers Show, the Patriot Act has been renewed. Find out what it all means from expert Julian Sanchez at 6:35.
You're listening to the Bob Rivers Show
on 95.7.
The greatest hits of all time.
Very nice, Pedro. Mexican drug cartel music.
I think Dangerous Drug Lords. I think Rogue Mariachis.
And actually, you don't know this, but these ones are called corridos. And basically, yeah, it is music. They send messages to each other. The gangs use this kind of music in the lyrics. Send messages.
There's a piñata full of heroin.
What the hell?
Yeah, he's telling the truth.
I'm sure he is. Or
he could be funning this.
No, I'm not. And actually, there were some problems because they censored this music in some radio stations in Mexico because they didn't use any swear words or anything, but the messages sometimes were just communicating with
each
other. Serious? Yeah.
Gangs love to sing. Yeah. I've seen West Side Story.
Stay cool, boy.
They do.
So that this would be their equivalent in Mexico of bad anti-cop rap would be here, right?
Well, they started using this back in the days, like, again, to send communications to other gang bands, and they turned out to be profitable, so they made music out of it afterwards. But the police censored these songs.
Let me hear this censored song again.
You cannot understand a word.
I don't understand a word.
Okay.
Tell me what it's saying.
Que a esos asesinos jamás podrá.
Water side of Tostinos. I heard it. I heard that.
Chalupas for the marijuana.
All right, so what are they actually singing?
Well, in this song, basically what they do is like threaten other gang members, and they name people there, and they say, well, basically, if you do this to my family, we do this to your family.
I put the dingle balls off your sombrero.
Wow.
Again, this is huge. There are books written about this kind of music and everything. So,
Mexican drug cartel music. Okay, here's what they are doing. Mexican drug lords manufacturing something they want to sell to your elementary school-age children. It's not drugs anymore. It's actually pirated DVDs. They had some raids last month in Mexico City. They got 12 tons of movie discs and 1,000 DVD burners, enough machinery to produce 500,000 copies of Kung Fu Panda 2 a day.
Wow. Yeah, Kung Fu Panda 2, Toy Story 3. I mean, they're pumping them out down there.
And basically, it's no longer a victimless crime. I used to think that pirating a DVD, victimless crime, who cares about Hollywood studios? But once the Mexican drug gangs start doing it, people will be killed as part of making your DVD, as part of making your Kung Fu Panda 2.
Right. They're buying guns with that money. They're buying, ammo and drugs and, yeah.
Mexico has become the pirate capital of Latin America. They export so many bootleg movies to Central America that the major studios no longer bother to sell their products there. they cannot compete. And in Cancun or Monterey or Tijuana, when you buy a bootleg Disney movie for the kids, it has a stamp that shows it was distributed by Los Zetas or La Familia. Do you know these groups, Los Zetas?
Yeah, we hang around together.
Yeah, sure you do.
Be careful.
Their stamp is a stallion, and La Familia uses a butterfly. Video piracy is ubiquitous in Mexico, where more than 9 of every 10 movie DVDs is a counterfeit. Now, they've cleaned it up in other parts of the world, but not in Central America yet.
Didn't you, in your recent travels abroad, come across...
Yes, in Indonesia, you could buy a movie that was just out. But it was one of those, loosely translated with...
Camcorder in a movie theater,
Kevin? Camcorder in a movie theater, yeah. bad subtitles. Those actually should be honored traditions. Nobody would... They're not going to actually compete.
Yeah, with the studio release.
Okay. It is 6:42. Last week, President Obama extended the Patriot Act, which led to a few questions, like exactly what changes were included in this historic legislation that was passed post 9/11, and why would Obama, President Obama, who I believe ran against the Patriot Act, why would he renew it? To give us his take on the Patriot Act, we are joined by Julian Sanchez, a research fellow at the Washington, D.C.-based Cato Institute and a contributor to The Economist and Reason magazine. Julio Sanchez, welcome to the Bob Rivers Show. Hello.
Hey, thank you for having me on.
Our pleasure. So, interestingly, last week when President Obama signed the Patriot Act and NPR ran a story on it, they didn't so much run a story on the Patriot Act, they ran a story on the electronic remote-controlled pen that President Obama used to sign this important legislation, even though he was overseas. Was the pen the story?
Well, the Patriot Act is complicated. The pen you can explain in 100 words.
Right. And that's the crux of why I wanted to call you, and thank you for coming on with us. When the Patriot Act was signed by George Bush and Ashcroft, I believe Attorney General Ashcroft at the time was a big proponent of it, it was evil. It was all about how we were going to torture people. And when President Obama signed it, is it still evil and about how we're going to torture people?
Yeah, well, I mean, certainly a lot of people who were upset at the time, and I like to think that the Patriot Act at least had more to do with surveillance, I think, than torture. The torture was sort of improvised. But a lot of people who were upset about it all through the Bush administration seem to have lost their outrage now that it is President Obama in charge. I think there's a lot of, for the same reason that Obama, I think, flipped on it, which is that it's a lot easier to be in favor of constraining the power of the executive branch when you don't run the executive branch.
Sure.
It's a lot easier for Democrats, I think, to be outraged by executive overreach when it's not their guy overreaching.
So, all right, so that's kind of politics as usual. So dig down into the guts of the Patriot Act for me a little. And we don't have time to dissect the whole thing, obviously. But what are the parts of it that any president would want in there? And are they the waterboarding showpieces, or are they other aspects of the Patriot Act that we really need?
Right. No, so the Patriot Act has very little to do with interrogation and a lot to do with surveillance. There were three parts that were expiring this year and that were renewed without any changes. Very quickly, one called Lone Wolf that's about targeting people under the espionage surveillance law who are not actually connected to a foreign terror group or a foreign power. That used to be a kind of key requirement, a key distinction between, crime versus espionage and, foreign intelligence surveillance. There's one called 215 that lets them get business records, the business records provision, except it's very broad, so it requires a court order, but there are really almost no limits on what they can get. They can basically get anything as long as they say it's relevant to an investigation, whether or not any of the people whose records they're getting have any kind of connection to terrorism. And finally, roving wiretaps, again, something that exists on the criminal side, good idea, lets them follow a target who's switching phones quickly from phone to phone. But unlike the criminal version of this authority, they don't have to name a target. they can describe a target and then still be following, you know, say, whoever's behind this internet account, wherever they go next, the agent will decide instead of the judge deciding what new accounts are going to get targeted. And then there was a final, very controversial provision called national security letters that wasn't expiring but is maybe the broadest of these. Obama wanted to get rid of them in the campaign, but his administration just broke the record for the number of Americans, more than 14,000, whose records were seized using these without a warrant.
So why don't they change the name of this and call it a terrorism phishing license? Because that's what you just described.
Basically, yeah. Or it's, I mean, it's actually more like you know, dynamite fishing, where you throw a TNT into the river and wait for the fish to come up.
Sure, we're not using a barbless hook. I got it. All right.
Yeah.
Julian, you said that it's easy to, you know, not it's easy to restrict executive powers when it's not your guy in the office. But how much of this, there was no outrage this time, is because it seems to be working, doesn't it? There's, we've lived pretty safe.
Good question, Mr. Hannity. What do you say?
Well, look, I think this is a bit like, you know, there was that episode of The Simpsons where Lisa had the magic tiger repellent rock, you know. You see, you don't see any tigers, do you? Must be my magic rock.
Well, wait a minute. To equate this to The Simpsons is a little out of color.
I love it.
I think the evidence, if you actually look back at what has led to the intelligence successes we know about, obviously, I mean, the problem on both sides here is that most of what is done with this stuff is secret. But if you look back, it's generally, you know, people get caught because of human intelligence, because someone, someone in the community saw something, someone in the community tipped someone off. There was some kind of other suspicious behavior that raised a red flag. The idea that these very sweeping programs where you run out and get in thousands or millions of people's records and look for patterns in this sort of elaborate minority report kind of detecting the subtle traces of a terrorist. It doesn't seem like that's very effective, frankly.
Now, it can be effective in other areas, all of these algorithms. It can be effective for the IRS. It can be effective for all kinds of law enforcement, can't it?
It can in some cases, but it's a lot harder for terrorism. See, here's the thing, right? Tax cheating, even, you know, tax evasion, various kinds of credit fraud, these are actually all things that are, you know, common enough that you can build a profile that they do actually have a distinctive pattern.
Uh-huh.
Terrorism is fortunately pretty infrequent, and usually once one method has worked once, the system adapts to try and secure itself, and the terrorists adapt to try and do something different.
Got it.
So the same methods are not as effective here.
So it's like radar detectors. They'll just build a different radar detector when you change the way the radar works, right?
It's something like that, except it's maybe a radar detector with eight-dimensional flying cars, because there's so many different kinds.
Right. But, I mean, the way that worked is for a while they came out with a radar detector so people could drive and they would know when there was a radar set up ahead of them. And then eventually the cops changed the radar to a different band, and so people had to come up with a new radar detector. I mean, everybody's one step ahead of everybody else. And you said something that sort of I saw Spike wince a little bit when you said that there's hardly any terrorists, really. I mean, it's not like it happens all the time. And people are afraid to admit that, I think, because
once is plenty.
Once is plenty.
Yeah, right?
Sure. That's a good point.
Right. This is not to minimize the risk, although, I mean, I think the risk should be kept in perspective relative to other kinds of, you know, life-threatening, catastrophic risks. That said, the question is just how many in the U.S. examples do you have to build a profile? For most stuff like this, it involves, again, looking through lots of data to try and figure out what the pattern of, an Al-Qaeda terror in the U.S. looks like. You know, having three examples is not that helpful. Usually for stuff like this, you need hundreds of examples to sort the noise from the signal.
Well, but I cite the American Taliban profile. You're talking about the lone wolf thing. I'm getting from your Simpsons reference that you're not a fan of the Patriot Act, and that's fine. But, you know, if you got guys trying to blow up flights to Chicago with exploding underwear, but they bust these guys, and you always say follow the money. If you want to end crime, you follow the money. So looking at business records isn't about finding tax cheats. It's about finding people laundering and moving money around, because that's how you finance your operations.
I would never say that the FBI shouldn't be able to get business records pursuant to some standard. Most of the things that are in the Patriot Act are, things that maybe go too far, but not things that are in principle powers no government should have. I mean, the same thing with roving wiretaps. I would say, you know, this idea that you can get a roving wiretap without even naming the target, where the agent has discretion to decide which new lines to follow, that's too much. The idea that a judge should be able to, with an identified target, grant a roving wiretap, I think is entirely reasonable. This is not about, you know, whether the Patriot Act is good or bad. It's about
whether or not it adheres to some standards.
Yeah, it's about whether or not there are safeguards in place and limitations in place that that protect privacy in a way that, that we don't just sort of say all bets are off because maybe we'll be a little bit more secure if there are no limits at all.
Going back to the beginning, do we know who named this the Patriot Act and how much brainstorming went into that process? I mean, the Roving Wiretapping Act I don't think would have ever gotten through.
Yeah, no. Well, you know, of course, it's an acronym, so they must have been sitting for hours. I mean, they must have had a room full of interns going, you know, something appropriate tools to obstruct and, you know, what's that last P? I don't know.
So it is an acronym.
It is an acronym?
Yes. Yes, it is. And I honestly
don't have it memorized.
Protect would probably be the first word, I would guess.
Yeah, but protect.
It's Providing Appropriate Tools Required to Intercept and Obstruct Terrorism Act.
Wow.
Okay. I read that. Don't think I know that by heart.
All right. So, anyway, it's signed again, which means that presidents like having power. It's as simple as that, isn't it?
Yeah, well, and of course I think there's always a sort of downside risk. Any time you limit something like this, once it's in place, if there is an attack, whether or not this would have done anything to stop it, someone can always say, well, if only you hadn't imposed this additional safeguard, maybe that would have been the thing that made the difference. No one wants to be in the position of being open to the accusation that maybe somehow, if they hadn't done something, if they hadn't put an additional celebrity safeguard in there, somehow the government would have been able to protect us.
Does anybody have the guts to say that upholding your standards is more important than keeping every single person in the world alive?
Yeah, it's a hard sell. The more important. I think that's right. Actually, I think if we want to be a free society, we can't be willing at some level to say we must keep absolutely as safe as we can at all costs. If you want to keep a society free, you have to be willing to say if there's a cost to that freedom, sometimes we'll be willing to pay it. But the truth is, I think the in a way the easier sell here is just that there isn't that much evidence that adding the kind of, you know, limited reasonable safeguards that most people think would make these powers consistent with our tradition of, you know, warrants and individualized suspicion,
right,
would cripple these tools in any way.
All right. Julian Sanchez. Thank you, Julian. Julian writes in Washington, D.C. on privacy, technology, and politics. It's 6:54, 6 before 7 o'clock. Did that explain anything to you?
I think so. I'm always leery of throwing away, you know, your liberties. You know me.
You're leery of it or enjoy it?
No, I'm leery of it. I know that
you always say that. Oh, it stops a crime.
I know, and I like sleeping easy. I got kids. I like the fact that, you know, the law enforcement always seems to be one step behind the bad guys.
Right.
You know, cop killer bullets are all around. You know, the criminals got better guns than the cops.
And you're
so
convinced you're a good guy.
I am a good guy.
That you don't want to give the bad guys rights.
I don't think bad guys deserve rights.
There you go.
I really don't, man. I'm all for enhanced interrogation. You know,
everything.
I'm for Gitmo. No, I'm not.
But if taking away those privacy and rights end up with you, all of a sudden your privacy's gone, and because of your medical conditions or things you can't even control, your family is harnessed with higher fees and all sorts of algorithms are used to extract more from you, then you'll go, what happened to my privacy?
What happened to my freedom?
It'll be a little too late. It's 6:55. Coming up, did you know there are lots of new phone apps that can save you time standing in line or waiting for a service? Save you time?
Yeah, I might have to get an iPhone.
You're actually considering.
Well, it looks like it's starting to be a practical tool for society.
You're listening to The Bob Rivers Show
on 95.7.
The greatest hits of all time.
I'm Danielle in the State Farm Traffic Center. Everett to Seattle going to take you about 47 minutes right now, while Everett to Bellevue is about 49. Southbound 405 from 204th down to the 522 interchange is going to be the slowest part of that commute, with really heavy volumes at the 522 interchange. I'll have more traffic details for you in 6 minutes. Traffic is brought to you by YourTrafficAlerts.com. YourTrafficAlerts.com makes your commute better with personalized traffic reports. Sign up now for free at YourTrafficAlerts.com, a service of your friends at State Farm.
The Oldies 95.7 Hot List. Things to see, do, and get this week with Oldies 95.7.
Oldies 95.7 is giving you the chance to win tickets to see Huey Lewis in the News at the Chateau St. Michelle Winery on August 26th. Log on to OldiesSeattle.com right now for your chance to win.
And the $1,000 Thrill an Hour Cash Contest continues. Your chance to win each weekday from 10 a.m. until 4 p.m. Listen for the cue to call at the top of each hour.
The Oldies 95.7 Hot List. OldiesSeattle.com.
Hey, it's Bob Rivers here. Who couldn't use a pile of cash? I want you to smell that money, a big pile of money. Smell it? Yeah, it smells good. It smells like a trip to Hawaii. It smells like maybe that fishing boat you've always wanted. Maybe that closet full of shoes. You probably already have that cash somewhere. Go into your closet or your dresser drawer, perhaps your attic. Clean out the old jewelry. Get those old coins and go visit my friends at West Seattle Coins. Listen to this. Gold prices just broke another all-time record, $1,500 an ounce. Think about it. West Seattle Coins pays the most. You might even fly first class to where you're going. They offer free appraisals, there's no pressure, and you'll understand what your gold, silver, jewelry, and watches are really worth. There's a reason they're the most popular. They're the reason they've been around the longest. West Seattle Coins, or their new store, Bellevue Rare Coins, for your very best offer right on the spot. West Seattle Coins and Bellevue Rare Coins. They'll pay you more money.
If you love salmon, we've got a real treat for you right now at Fred Meyer. Wild Copper River salmon has just arrived, and it's one of the best runs in years. Not only is this some of the best tasting salmon you'll ever try, it's also some of the most affordable. We're able to offer whole Copper River salmon at just $4.99 a pound. That's the lowest price in years on a true Alaskan delicacy. You can prepare Copper River salmon on the grill. Try using an F.G. Meyer cedar plank for that moist, flaky goodness and an incredible smoky flavor. Of course, even with such a great run this year, supplies are limited, and when it's gone, it's gone. So hurry into Fred Meyer for first of the season Copper River salmon while supplies last. Remember, you deserve fresh. What's on your list today?
And for a sweet and healthy treat, stop by Freddy's Produce Department for fresh organic California strawberries. It's the peak of the season, and these large, luscious red berries are full of flavor. 1 pound containers of fresh organic strawberries are 2 for just $4 at Fred Meyer now.
If the road doesn't feel like it's yours and yours alone, then you're not driving with a TomTom. With a million more miles of road on its U.S. maps, it always finds the open one to keep you moving forward. So go with a TomTom, because anything less is just GPS.
If you're like me, you enjoy a casino atmosphere, but not so much the smoke that can go along with it. That's why I love to play at Muckleshoot Casino in Auburn. At Muckleshoot, you'll find the largest non-smoking facility in the state, with over 1,000 gaming machines, 28 table games, and the Juggler's Deli restaurant, all located in a smoke-free environment where you can relax and breathe a little easier. Muckleshoot Casino has something for everyone, and all through the month of June, they're paying tribute to my favorite sport, fishing. Since I'm a Preferred Players Club member, I have a chance to reel in the big one when I play Muckleshoot Casino's $100,000 Fishing for a Fortune. Just play any of your favorite video gaming machines, keno, or table games, and you too have a chance to win $100,000. Receive a free entry daily and a bonus entry for every 500 points earned. Drawings are 3, 5, 7, and 9 p.m. every Thursday in June. Visit the Preferred Players Club for details. Muckleshoot Casino, the biggest and best in the Northwest.
Come on, we gotta go. Did you remember water?
Got it. 8 bottles, 1 for each cup holder.
Oh, I'm so excited for this afternoon.
Me too, but we got to get on the road.
Did you remember the cooler, and did it fit?
Yep, 34 and a half cubic feet of cargo space with all the seats in use.
Should we bring the dog? You know how he just loves the rear reclining seats.
Nah, forget about it. It's a long list today.
List. I almost forgot the list.
Even a trip to the grocery store can be an adventure in an Outback from Chaplin's Bellevue Subaru. This summer, take your adventure further with a Sun Mountain Lodge Cascades adventure with the purchase of a new Subaru only from Chaplin's. one-night stay in a luxurious fireplace room with a great view of the North Cascades. Enjoy boating on Lake Patterson, all at the AAA Four Diamond Sun Mountain Lodge near Winthrop. Your adventure is waiting at I-90 in Eastgate or ChaplainSubaru.com. Trips are subject to availability while supplies last and excludes holidays. Take your adventure further with Chaplain's Bellevue Subaru.
Every second of every day, Swedish cares for someone in need. As a nonprofit organization serving our area for over 101 years, Swedish is 100% committed to improving the health of our region through quality health care. Last year, Swedish provided more than $112 million in uncompensated care and other community services. It's all about finding innovative ways to help people get well and stay well, no matter where they live or how much they can afford. Swedish cares.
We're going to sing some a cappella music.
Do some magic.
I'm a contortionist.
I'm a juggler.
I'm a comic.
We sing and dance.
The biggest talent competition on the planet is back.
America's Got Talent.
The two-hour season premiere of America's Got Talent tonight on NBC.
Welcome to Safeco Field. Welcome to sunshine, green grass, an open roof, and 9 innings of wow. Welcome to the laser show.
Here's the throw, the plate. He got it.
Welcome to fastball, changeup, fastball. Take a seat.
Strike three, gotta blow.
Welcome to hard nosed, never quit, give it everything you've got. Baseball that starts with a skipper named Wedge.
The bottom line is going to stand for something here within the Mariners organization.
Welcome to the Franklin Gutierrez Fielding Clinic and the Ichiro Hit Parade. Welcome to the place where baseball history meets a promising future.
Justice.
Welcome to the biggest summer party in the city. Welcome to Safeco Field. Mariners baseball, ready to play.
The Mariners host the Orioles tonight at 7:10, followed by an afternoon matinee tomorrow at 12:40. Don't forget to also get on board for train car night this Friday when the Rays come to town. The first 20,000 fans score a collectible Mariners Go Green train car, so go full steam ahead and pick up your ticket now at Mariners.com.
Good morning from the State Farm Traffic Center. Southbound I-5 really filling in between 195th and 175th and picking up again at Northgate. Northbound 405 from Sunset up to 112th. We're also seeing some heavy crowding. And northbound I-5 through Midway from 288th up to 200th is a pretty slow go at the moment. Traffic is brought to you by YourTrafficAlerts.com. Your commute just got better and maybe a little bit faster with YourTrafficAlerts.com. Sign up now for a free personalized traffic update sent to you via email or text alert. YourTrafficAlerts.com, a service of your friends at State Farm. Coming up next on the Bob Rivers Show, learn about new phone apps that can save you time while waiting in line.